Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 14 to 16. That's where we'll get started this morning. So Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Father, for this opportunity to gather here this morning. Lord, thank you for how you have taken care of us this week. Many prayer requests have been answered this week as some have been healed from sickness, traveling mercies for those that have been away. And Lord, there's just so much that has gone on this week. And we just thank you and praise you for how you have worked and what you have done. And Father, this morning, as we have this time in our Sunday school hour, we just ask you to just speak to our hearts this morning, Lord. I pray that, Father, you would just help me to just teach right, and Lord, the messages you've given me, I just pray that I deliver it right, and Father, that you would just help me with that. And then Father, for those that are here this morning hearing it, Lord, we just pray that you would encourage us and strengthen us, help us with this lesson this morning. We do pray for all the Sunday school classes that are going on this morning downstairs, and Lord, that you'd be with each teacher, give them wisdom, please be with each student, help them to be attentive. And Father, that they may learn from your word this morning. Lord, we just thank you and praise you and just ask you to just guide our hearts, our thoughts, our minds this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, Pastor Andrew, over the last month or so, was doing a whole series on prayer and whatnot. And, you know, this morning I just wanted to talk a little bit about prayer also. The title of what I have is The Two Sides of a Prayer Request, and we're gonna look at prayer and what prayer does and everything. But Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16, just give us some encouragement as far as bringing prayer requests before the Lord. You know, we're told in verse number 14, now you know from Hebrew history and from the Old Testament and such, that folks would go to the high priest. The high priest would offer sacrifices and prayers for the people, and these things would be done and everything. And then Hebrews, of course, is a book written to the Hebrews, but it's all about Jesus Christ being that high priest. And in verse 14, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. You know, our Christian walk, our life, let us hold fast. Let's keep to our profession. Let us, remembering that we do have this great high priest. He says, for we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. I'm sorry about that popping like that. Maybe I'll move it down a little, see if that helps. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And we know that throughout Jesus' earthly life, he was faced with many temptations. Of course, we know the three big ones that are recorded for us in the Gospels, when Satan came and tempted him. And of course, we understand that Jesus defeated Satan with Scripture. And but there were other temptations that were placed before Jesus in his earthly ministry. And yet he was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. This is an encouragement to us in the fact that, you know, somebody might share a prayer request with you or a need with you. And if you've gone through that, you can understand that. But if you haven't gone through that, you don't really understand what they're going through. You don't really understand all the process. Now, you can care for them, you can love them, you can pray for them, you can be earnest about that, but the life experience that they are going through, you can't share that. You don't know. But our high priest, Jesus Christ, he was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. And because of that, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Isn't it great to know that when we take a prayer request before God and we bring a prayer request before the Lord, that he knows exactly what we're going through, he knows exactly what we're dealing with, and he knows exactly what we need to get through it. And, you know, we can have that confidence as we come to the Lord and bring those prayer requests before him. And I just wanted to, you know, as we bring prayer requests, now, is it that God doesn't know? Well, of course not. God certainly knows what we need. He certainly knows the trials and the struggles that we're going through. But he wants to hear from us, and he wants to hear those requests. And we know throughout the scripture we have example after example of people praying and bringing things before the Lord. And, you know, we, in our time here, we too are no different. We have things that we need to just bring before the Lord, and we just need God's help with. If we turn over to Hebrews chapter 4, again, I told you that the title of this is The Two Sides of a Prayer Request. The first is the request itself. Just bringing the petition, bringing that even supplication, if you will, before the Lord. In Philippians chapter 4, in verse 6, it says this, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, to be careful for nothing, that's talking about the anxiety, to be full of care, to be worried, in fact. But we're not to be worried. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. You know, in the scripture, we find three different terms that describe prayer. We find the word prayer itself. We find the word supplication. Both of these words we find here. We also find the word petitions. And petitions goes pretty closely along with the word supplication. But prayer, Webster defines prayer this way. In worship, a solemn address to the supreme being, consisting of adoration, of an expression of our sense of God's glorious perfections, confession of our sins, and then supplication for mercy and forgiveness, intercession for blessings on others and thanksgiving, or an expression of gratitude to God for his mercies and benefits. And, you know, the definition here, when we look at prayer, I'm sure that you've heard this before, but prayer is not just us coming to the Lord with our wants and our grievances and our things like that. Prayer is actually an individual worship service with God. We come before God, and even in Jesus' example of how we should pray, you know, he starts off, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, recognizing who God is and the holiness of God and everything that God is, you know, it is a worship service. We're recognizing God. We're praising God for who he is. We may have to confess some sin, sure. And we certainly ask God to help us to forgive those that have sinned against us. And we praise God for the daily bread and the daily provisions that he gives us. And, you know, we just have this worship service. Now, some of that is asking for prayer and asking the Lord to help with things and that supplication or that petition that we bring before him. But prayer itself is just that personal time, one-on-one, where we're talking to God and we're just worshiping him. Supplication, on the other hand, is defined this way, an entreaty, humble and earnest prayer and worship in all our supplications to the Father of mercies. Let us remember a world lying in ignorance and wickedness. It is a petition and an earnest request. So, you know, sometimes we come to the Lord and we have a time of prayer, and maybe there isn't anything pressing in our lives, but we have that time of worship. We just recognize who God is. We just thank him for all his wonderful works and just everything that he's done and all that. But then when we have a something very dire, something that we are just weighing heavy on us and stuff, and we bring that to the Lord, that's that supplication, you know. Maybe somebody in your family or in the congregation has shared a very earnest and a very serious problem with you and just asked you to take it to the Lord and just pray for them. That would be that supplication to just plead out and just cry out to God in on behalf of that person, and to be able to just share that and bring that person in that situation before the throne of grace, as we saw in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. You know, that we might boldly come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Here in Philippians 4, as we bring those prayer requests, you know, don't worry about it. God has got it under control. Now, that's easy to say. Believe me, I'm not trying to make that sound like it's no big deal. You know, there are definitely things that weigh very heavy upon us, and we wonder how the outcome is going to be, and we wonder what's going to take place there. You know, but when we come before the Lord, to just trust the Lord, to really trust him and be able to lay that prayer request at his feet and just cry out to him and just know that he cares, that he loves us, that he's going to help us with it. Even as Paul prayed and asked God to remove that thorn in his flesh, and he prayed so many times, but God said no, but he did tell him, but my grace is sufficient for thee. You know, and he's going to help him to deal with that. You know, a lot of times we want to see the yeses in the prayer request. Sometimes we get no's, though. Sometimes the answer is no, and sometimes the answer is wait. I think the wait is harder than the yes and the no. You know, just hang on. You know, but there may be some things going on that we don't know about, so that God can bring a glorious ending to this situation that we might be in. I'm kind of getting a little ahead of myself. Let me slow down here. Oh, by the way, you were right last night. I want that to go on record. Yes, we're going to talk about Abraham here in a minute. You were right. So I said, I know what I'm going to do tomorrow morning. We want to pray for Keith, by the way. Keith is sick today, and he let me know at 8 o'clock last night that he wasn't feeling good. And so, you know, of course, the conversation is, what are you going to do tomorrow morning? So I said, well, I'm going to do this. And she goes, oh, yeah, I remember that. She goes, Abraham. I was like, no. She's like, oh, okay. Well, she was right. So you're right. We'll get there in a minute. We'll edit all that out, okay? Get rid of all that. I don't want that on record, but we may not know how God is going to answer the prayer, but we do know that God is going to answer the prayer. If you turn with me over to Psalm chapter 37, Psalm chapter 37, Psalm chapter 37, and verse number 23, it says this: the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know, I'm sure that you've all had situations where you have had to pray and just ask God to work. But in the prayer request and in the time, and if you haven't, you will. But there's these times when we pray and we say, I just need God to work, but I don't know how he's going to work. I don't know how God's going to fix this. I don't know how God's going to do it. And you know, us in our humanness, and especially us men, we love to just fix it, you know? So if something's going on that's out of our control and we can't just fix it, I know for myself, that can be a huge frustration, and that could just really eat at me and bother me. And, you know, and so, but to be able to take that with all boldness, with all assurity that God's got it under control, and to be able to take it to the Lord and really lay it before the Lord. And, you know, we know the verse, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That casting is a fully giving. You know, sometimes I heard this preached this way one time. He said, a lot of times we take casting like you would with a casting, you know, casting a fishing line, you know. They said, the problem with that is you've still got control of that line. They said, casting all your care upon the Lord is more like throwing a baseball. Once you get rid of it, you're done, you know. Just let it go and let God deal with it, you know. And I know myself, sometimes when the answer has been wait, I'll try to make things happen that just end up making things a bigger mess, you know. And so in boldness, we can come before the Lord. In confidence, we know that he knows what we're going through and he's going to get us through it. But sometimes we need to just sit back and just wait for that answer and just wait for God to work. Knowing this, that we can trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding, our own reasoning, and our own thoughts, but in all our ways acknowledging Him and let Him direct our paths. You know, that's what we really need to do. And when we're in the middle of a prayer request and we're in the middle of this thing, there's two things that we really need to do, and they're not always the easiest things to do. The first one is we just got to be patient. We just have to be patient and just let God work. We keep bringing the prayer requests before Him. We keep sharing. We keep crying out to Him. But, you know, sometimes we just got to wait. And Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8 says this: better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but, you know, the question is, so how good are we at being patient, you know? Well, we're not. I mean, let's just be honest. We're not good at being patient, and we want to know the answer. And, you know, especially in this day and age of getting it now, you know, we want the answer now. We want the fix now. We don't want to have to go through the trials. We don't want to have to go through the troubles. We don't want those tribulations to worketh patience, and patience, you know, and you know how those verses go. And, you know, we don't want that. We want an answer. We want it fixed. We want it done. We want to move on. We want to get back to the fun stuff. But, you know, life doesn't work that way. Well, life isn't just one fun thing after another. There's trials, there's tribulations. They grow us in our faith. They grow us in our walk with the Lord. And we need to understand that. So when there's something that is out of our control, we've got a prayer request, we brought it before the Lord, we really do need to just be patient. Psalm chapter 27, in verse 13, it says this: I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Verse 14 says this: wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know, it's a humbling thing when you come before the Lord and you say, this is what's going on. I don't know how you're going to fix it, but I know you can. I know you're going to work. Now I just have to wait. I just have to be patient. I just have to trust. And, you know, there have been a number of times where I've had to make that just my prayer request. Lord, I trust You. I don't know what's going on here. I don't know what the outcome's going to be, but I trust You. I'm going to be patient. I'm just going to seek You, and we're just going to see how this turns out. In Psalm 46, verse 10, it says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. You know, to just set everything down, bring the prayer request before the Lord, and then just be quiet. Just be quiet. Just trust in the fact that God loves you, that God's got a plan in this, and that God will be glorified as long as we are faithful and we do what we're supposed to do. And so to just be still and know that I am God. Think about that. Be still and know that I am God. Now, if you're here this morning and you're saved, you are trusting God for your eternal salvation. You do not keep you saved. God keeps you saved, you know? It's all in God's hands. We trust God for our salvation. We trust God for eternity. But sometimes we have trouble trusting God for the other stuff, you know? You know, the fuel bills, the electric bills, the travel, the car. You know, my car's not as reliable as it once was. Is this gonna work? You know, God, what do I need to do? You know, maybe I need a new vehicle, but I'm not sure how I'm gonna afford it. All that stuff. You know what? Be still, know that I am God. You know, God has got your salvation, your eternal security. He's got you handled in that. Believe me, the rest of it He can take care of, you know. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you. You know, all the things, all the cares of life, the things that sit before us that we sometimes spend hours worrying over, God's like, I've got this. Just let me do what I've got to do. We need to be patient. The other thing we need to do is we need to be obedient. Obedience, do what God has laid before you. Do what God has told you to do. I have two examples of that. One is from Genesis chapter 22, Abraham and Isaac. And I'm not going to read all the verses for the sake of time. I don't have, give me the high sign when we get close, okay? I don't have my clock up here. So Genesis chapter 22, though, Abraham, God comes to Abraham and says, I want you to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. And Abraham is going to do it. He gets Isaac. He gets some of his servants. They get the wood for the sacrifice. They get the fire. He's got the knife. He's got all that. And they start heading out. About 3 days into the journey, he sees the mount where he's supposed to go. And he leaves the servants. And he says, I and the lad are going to go, and we will come again unto you. So as he's going, he knows the command. The command is that you're going to sacrifice Isaac. But in faith, and we know this from the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, that chapter of faith, it talks about Abraham, that Abraham had enough faith in God that he knew that even if he did sacrifice Isaac, that God had the power to raise him again. So he says to the servants, we're going to go yonder, we're going to go up and we're going to worship, and I and the lad are going to come back again. He's trusting. He's being obedient, but he doesn't know how it's all going to work, but he's just trusting. And so as they are going, Isaac says to Abraham, we have the fire and we have the wood, but where's the sacrifice? And Abraham says to Isaac, God will provide a sacrifice. All the time in Abraham's mind, all he knows is that God has told me to sacrifice my son. And as they're walking up to the place where the sacrifice is going to take place, and his son says, Dad, where's the sacrifice? He says, God will provide a sacrifice. And you know that they get up there, he prepares the altar, he binds his son, he's ready to sacrifice his son, and God stops him. And Abraham turns and he finds a ram caught in the thicket by the horns. Caught by the horns so that none of the rest of the body would be marred. It would be a suitable sacrifice. But you know, when we're waiting and we're having to be patient and we're having to be obedient, we don't know what God's doing. As Abraham and Isaac were going up the mountain, they didn't know that God was preparing the ram. But God knew it. All Abraham knew was, I just got to be obedient. I'm just going to trust. It doesn't make sense. I'm going to do what the Lord has told me to do. And I think it's just interesting that in hindsight, we can read the account and we can look at it and we can say, yeah, look at how God worked all this out. But we can't walk in Abraham's steps thinking the whole time, each step he took, I'm going to have to sacrifice my son. I'm trusting God, but I'm going to have to sacrifice my son. And he gets to the point where the knife is drawn and he's ready to do it. And God stops him. All the while, the ram was prepared. The other example I have is in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, Peter's up on the roof of Simon. He's up on the roof and he's praying. They're in the house, they're preparing a meal. And Peter is praying and he sees this vision. And a sheet comes down from heaven, tied at the four corners. And as the sheet descends and it opens before him, he sees all manner of beast and animal in it. And he hears the voice from heaven say, Arise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter says, Nay, Lord, no unclean thing shall touch my lips. And God says, Don't call unclean or common what I have called clean. And the sheet goes up and it comes back down again. It opens up. He sees all manner of beast and animal in there. Arise, Peter, kill and eat. Nay, Lord. Three times this happens. Three times. And God says three times, Don't call that unclean or common that I have called clean. And the third time, after the third time, the sheet goes up into heaven and Peter kind of comes out of that and he's sitting there and it says that he's thinking on this. And then the Spirit of the Lord says to Peter, go down because there's servants at the door that are looking for you. And earlier in the chapter, Cornelius is praying and God says to him to send his servants to find this Peter who's going to come and preach salvation unto them. Peter doesn't know what's going on. Cornelius doesn't know how it's going to work. All he knows is he's got to send his servants, and God's got it all worked out. But the people that are most directly involved don't know what's going on. And Peter sees this vision, and that vision is not about it's okay to eat whatever you want to eat. Because when these servants of Cornelius come to Peter, the law was that Peter would not go to a Gentile home, to someone of another nation. That was, you did not do that. The servants of Cornelius are going to come and they're going to say, Peter, come to Cornelius' house. We need to hear. Well, under the law, Peter would say, no, not going. It's not permitted. It's not, and yet now he's got direct from heaven. Don't you call something unclean that I've called clean. And Peter rises and he goes to the home. The whole thing is unfolded before him, and he sees it, and he stands up and he preaches in Cornelius' home. And we know many people are saved and baptized and all that. But you know, it took that God dealing with that and doing that. But yet Cornelius is sending the servants. Peter's over here up on the rooftop. Don't know anything. And God just puts the whole thing together and works it all out beautifully. And you know, you might be in a situation today, or you might have a prayer request today. There might be something going on in your life today, and you just don't know how it's going to work out. Listen, God's got it. He's got a plan. He's got a way that it's all going to work out. Just keep being faithful. Don't give up. Don't faint. Don't get weary in well-doing. Keep going. Keep being faithful. God's going to work it out. And the thing is, he's going to work it out probably in a way that you couldn't have orchestrated. And guess what? It's going to work out way better than you ever could have done it. It's going to work out way better than you ever could have fixed it. I said there's two sides to every prayer request. There's the prayer request itself, but then there's the answer, or even if you would, the blessing. In the Old Testament, God spoke many times through other people, or even sometimes directly to the people. In the New Testament, in this time that we're living in, the age of grace, the church age, many times we pray, but he answers through someone else. I don't know if you've ever been in this situation. I hope you have. And if not, I would pray that God would use you in the future in this way. But I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you have been just praying before the Lord and God just brings somebody to your mind that you were not even thinking about and just lays them on your heart. And you just have to say, Lord, I don't know why this person's coming to my mind, but I know that they are. And I'm just going to lift them up before you, and I'm just going to pray for them. I hope that you don't dismiss that. You know, I certainly can't say that I've been faithful in that all over the years and whatnot. Sometimes I'm like, wow, that's a weird thought. I haven't thought about them in years. Why am I thinking about them now? You know, take that to the Lord. Pray before the Lord for that person, because God's laying them on your heart for a reason. And maybe God's laying something specific on your heart for a reason. If you would go with me back over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, we're going to read verse 10. 10 and following. Philippians 4, 10, it says, But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, and now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all in abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory, by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. You know that verse, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We hear that verse a lot, you know. Oh, don't worry about it. God will supply your need. God will take care of it. The verse, the context of the verse here, is a church that was giving sacrificially to help Paul in his ministries, and he gives them this encouragement, but my God shall supply all your need. You know, you've given sacrificially. You've given above what you were able to. You've given above what opportunity would dictate, but don't worry about it. God will take care of you because you've given in this way. And, you know, when we look at this and we look at the examples in the scriptures of how God used other people to meet the needs in people's lives, it's such an encouragement to us. In Galatians 6, verse 9 and 10, it says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." You know, has God laid on your heart to do something for somebody? You know, it's not up to us to reason it out or to figure it out even. You know, hey, God's laid this on my heart. I wonder what they're going through. I wonder what the details are. I wonder if maybe they deserve it. Maybe they made a bad decision. That's not for us to determine. That's not for us to say. That's none of our business. But if God lays somebody on your heart and is laying something on your heart to do for them, do it. Do it. And look at what he says here. In verse 13, he says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction." Let me just keep reading this. "Now, ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity." Oh, here it is, verse 17. "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." You know, yeah, he had a need. And yes, this church gave to that need. And he said, "Not that I wanted a gift from you, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." Can you imagine what it would be like someday to be standing before the Lord and him going, "Hey, remember when I laid on your heart to do thus and such and you did it?" Well done. Well done. I'll give you just a personal example. We were in Bible school and we didn't have anything. We didn't have anything. We were living on mac and cheese and chicken legs most of the time, you know. It was tough. You know, my big job was a shift manager at McDonald's. And I was going to school full time. Becky was homeschooling Emily, so boy, it was tough. We were lean, to say the least. And we had a need come up. We had something that come up out of the blue, and it was a financial need. I don't want to say it was substantial, but it was way more than what we had. And we're driving home from hearing about this need, hearing about what we were going to need, and there was just no way. We just don't know. And we just prayed. We were just praying. And we'd been praying for a few days about this, but it finally come to the point where we need this money. We get home, and I remember pulling up to the mailbox, and Becky opened the mailbox and just grabbed the mail and put it in her lap and drove into the house. And she's thumbing through the mail, and there was a letter there from a family from my home church when I lived in Connecticut. Hadn't heard from them or had communication with them in years. Years. And we opened the letter up, and there was a check. We didn't look at the check immediately. We read the letter, and it said, "I don't know why, but I cannot get you off my mind. We've been praying for you, and God just said to give." And we flipped the check over, and it was what we needed to the penny. To the penny. And we wept. we couldn't believe it. We were just like, wow. And it wasn't something, we didn't send this out on an email. We didn't splash it on social media. I don't even know if there was social media then. to be honest with you. We didn't do that. We took it to the Lord, and there was a family that they were praying. They were just having their family devotions. God laid a specific need on their heart, and they were obedient to it. And you know, that was fruit that will abound to their account. You know, sometimes God does that, though. We have example after example, and we can hear testimonies across this country, across this world, of the same thing. God just meeting a need and taking care of something because he laid that need on somebody else's heart, and they acted and they did something. You know, don't try to overanalyze it. You know, maybe right now things are going good for you, but God's laying somebody else on your heart to help them and to be a blessing to them. You know, the prayer request has been issued. God's working, and it's amazing that God wants to use us to answer those prayer requests. Not that we can stand up and go, hey, look what I did. Because we already know that if that's your motivation, then you have your reward. Matthew tells us that. If you do it so that men will praise you, that's all the reward you're ever going to get. But if you just humbly, through obedience, say, okay, Lord, I don't know why, but I'm going to do this, then one day you'll stand before the Lord and he'll go, remember when I... Well done. That's where it's going to matter. That's where it's going to take place. So you know the two sides of a prayer request? The request itself. We can have confidence. God's got this. We can boldly approach the throne. We know that he knows what we're going through, and he's going to help us, and he's going to give us grace in those times of need. But then the other side of that, how does God want to use you to answer a prayer request for someone else? Maybe it's just praying for them. Hey, it's not just praying for them. Maybe it's praying for them, bringing them before the throne, lifting them up before the Lord. But maybe there is something that God wants you to do to be a blessing and to answer that prayer request. Maybe God wants to use you in that way. We need to pray and just look for those opportunities and let God direct that and just say, God, how do you want to use me to help someone else or to be a blessing to someone else? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the example that we have in your word. Thank you for those faithful men and women that gave to Paul's ministry, to the other apostles. Lord, for other testimonies that we know and we hear of here in our country, around the world, of just how you moved and worked in the hearts of your people. And people gave and prayers were answered and things were done, and how you just used your people to meet the need in someone else's life. And Father, thank you that you would want to use us in that way. Thank you that we can be a part of that, that we can be your servants, your children, and be used of you to answer prayer. And Father, of course, all the honor, the glory goes to you. You did it. You worked it out. You made it happen. But Lord, help us to be conscious and mindful of the opportunities where you do want to use us. Lord, how many prayer requests may have slipped by because we questioned, we doubted, or we hesitated? Father, I pray that you would just help us to just trust you, be patient when we need to be patient, but always, Lord, to be obedient. Thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. We give you all the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.